Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Big Footy Tiger Cast for Monday night. Hope everyone is doing well. Good to be here on the back of a win, which is almost uncharted territory for us. So after the last few weeks, a few of us wrote us off. Look, I tell you, to be a fly on the wall in the Twitter PM with EJ, CB, and I maybe even might have extended further to phone calls and text messages with EJ and CB, I really hope you find time to jump on because that was fascinating how that played out. But how are you, EJ? You going well?
Yeah, going really well. And it was actually odd yesterday. I didn't get to watch the game live because my son had soccer and it was an away trip. And so I was gone from 9 until sort of 6. So listened to part of it on the radio on the way home. Then when I got to watch it late last night, knowing the result, it was actually quite surreal.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. See, with those ones, I always try and tell myself, I'm not going to watch it on my phone. I'm not going to listen to it. I'll wait till I get home. It just can't be done. If you know the game's on, you've got to just listen. Like you said, at least you know if it's worth re-watching when you get home. So did they win the soccer?
Yeah, they did. It was quite a spiteful game. They won 3-0, but they had a player sent off, so they played with 10 men and still got the chockies and yeah, so it was a good day. Beautiful spot too. It was over in Chewton, just outside Castlemaine. So,
oh, okay. Yeah. Old Dustin Martin territory.
Correct.
Yeah, I'm sure you've got something to say about Dusty. Not him in particular, but some more media coverage as we get into the show.
Oh, fair dinkum. Seriously. Rinse, repeat, ad nauseum.
I know. It's getting a little bit out of hand. But welcome to everybody in the chat. Hope you're all doing well. Apologies for the slight delay. The Facebook group, so the Richmond Big Footy Tiger Cast, so it actually dropped off because the links expire after a certain amount of time and I had to re-log in and reattach it, delete some old shows because we're over the 50-hour data allowance. So, yeah, it took a little bit of troubleshooting to get us on the air tonight, but Grock will be joining us as well. He's just having some mic issues. Tiggs isn't feeling 100%. He's good. He's all okay, but he just wasn't feeling up to it tonight. So, Tiggs, we send you our love, and hopefully you're feeling better soon. And there's Grock, as I mentioned him. How are you, mate?
Hey, here he is.
Yeah, not too bad. Sorry about that, guys. My laptop has a bit of a weird glitch where it will just disable my microphone for no reason, so I've got to go through and reset the whole thing up, so... Kind of
okay, no, that's right. I have that happen on my work laptop quite a bit, so not much fun. But I hope everyone is doing well. Should we get stuck into it? Was there any other items of note to discuss before talking about the game?
Oh, we'll just let it happen organically. We'll be right.
Just let it happen. Just let it flow. Yeah. All right, we'll get stuck into the game against the Giants. So the Tigers won 16-14, 110. To GWS 15-14, 104 by 6 points. Our first close win in God knows how long. It feels like it's been many years. Maybe that's actually factually true. I mean, it's at least 1.5, 2, isn't it? Surely that we've won a game that's under 10 points.
Yeah, early 2021, I believe.
Yeah, it's our first
2 years.
The previous 12 times the game was decided by a kick or under, we'd lost 9 and drawn 3. It's our first time in 13 attempts that we got over the line.
That's crazy. But so, I mean, I'm sure every other Tiger fan was feeling the same way, but when the Giants hit the front, EJ, was it the, all right, well, we've done our dash here. It's time to see them kick away by 15, 20 points. Did everyone else have that same feeling? I can't be alone there.
100%. As I was just talking to you, you know, like I'd been taking my son to soccer, so I was listening to it on the app, in Kangaroo Flat, McDonald's, getting a feed before the way home, and I was just like, oh, get stuffed. I almost threw my phone at the person serving me. Anyway, we got there.
Yeah. All right, we'll run through the goal kickers quickly before I get your thoughts on the game. Jack Riewoldt, our man who... a lot of us in this particular chat and maybe supporter base as a whole thought maybe looked like he needed a rest the last couple of weeks. And I think, to be fair, I think everyone was entitled to have that opinion based on actual output that was coming through from the last few weeks. But he wound back the clock and he's jagged 5 goals, 3 in a super dominant display. So, Jackie, you know, stuck it all up as again. And like I tweeted, more than happy to eat humble pie when things like that happen. Marlon Pickett with 2 and obviously the winner. Jaddy Clark with 2. Taranto 1, who's gone up to 145th best player in the comp now. Samson Ryan with one, Dion Presti with one, Camden McIntosh, Mansell, Graham, and Bolton with one as well. So a bit of love on the scoreboard, but our first quarter, gents, was probably what set us up. And in some aspects, it was probably a little bit disappointing that they came back and even hit the lead after the start that we had. But ebbs and flows, momentum, things like that, it's just part of football, I guess, EJ. But what did you make of the game as a whole?
Look, I think overall it's a really, really solid win. It's funny watching two dimmer disciples who have similar sort of outlooks on the game, and we get both teams scoring points. The interesting thing for me was how well our defense held up. If you look at,
yes,
you know, you look at the scores, you know, the scores look pretty close. They had 70 inside 50s. We had 47. We were minus 23. So massive props to the defense. And just on Jack, I'm not going to go into the private conversations, whatever, but what I loved was in that last minute was his double effort in the center square that set up getting the ball down.
Well, he and Koch, I think, two of the elder statesmen who were probably, you know, at that stage of games, you sometimes maybe feel like they might be a little bit out of gas given the workload and things like that, Grock. But they made two very, very big plays there at the end that led to the ball getting inside 50. And then we can't discount Samson Ryan and his little neat deflection down to Pickett, and he does the rest.
Yeah, it was funny. Even though, obviously, Ryan Koch didn't have huge games stat-wise, neither did Pickett really, but their impact in the key moments throughout the game were massive. Koch was massive with his defensive efforts in the first half, and I was surprised he only had two disposals up until halfway through the second quarter. And it just seemed he was everywhere, putting the body on, you know, putting the blocks in, the tackles. But yeah, like that game, that first quarter for me was probably the best football we've played all year. It was just so clean with our foot skills, hitting up the targets. And it's nice to actually lower the eyes. We're hitting up the lead, which is something that we haven't been able to do for 18 months. Lower the eyes and hit that pinpoint chest, you know, hit them on the chest. So, yeah, it's just a fantastic game, that first half. As you said, a bit of a shame that we went away from that with the long ball in the second half going high again. But credit where it's due. Samson Ryan, even though he wasn't getting there, his contests were pivotal.
Yeah, no, they absolutely were. And a few people have mentioned in chat as well about the lowering of the eyes. And it makes a noticeable difference. And, you know we say it a lot, and I apologize if we sound like broken records, but the proof's there in the pudding. If we do it, especially when you've only got one key four, you can't just blast it long because it's far too easy for people to cut off. Like, there's no Lynch to have to worry about. So by default, you have to change your mindset. And it was good. It happened for a lot longer periods than we've seen, and it obviously paid off. But you mentioned the defense being sort of rock solid. EJ, what about the man in your display picture, Noah Bolter, who obviously has a license to thrill, if we want to call it that. He had another very, very good intercept marking game. I'm sure with that picture, I'm tipping you may have some stats on him if I don't. Oh, but he had a phenomenal game.
Nothing sort of super in particular. He did have 8 intercept possessions. Mind you, the leading intercept possession winner on the ground was Grimes with 10. That was a real old-fashioned stopping sort of an effort from Grimes. I think he was minus 28 metres gained or something like that. But I don't know. Bolter still has that occasional what's going on when he gets rid of the ball, but how dynamic does he look when he breaks off his man and just charges through? And we all know he's got a massive roost on him. It's really exciting to watch. And you know, I thought he was best on ground.
And Grock, you messaged me about wanting to talk about Bolter as well. So he's definitely captured a lot of people's attention. What did you make of his game?
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. Like, I'm a massive Bolter fan, always have been. I just think he brings something different that we don't have, very much like Rance. And I think his last two games, he's really reined it in a little bit, in that he's not trying to do the cute little stuff that he tried to do early in the season with those dinky little 30-meter passes and miss kicking it. It seems like he's backing himself in to really break the game open, whether it be his running and carry like he did on the weekend where he's breaking that line, running 20 metres and roosting at 60. It just seems he's been given more of a license from McGualter to really take the game on and use his strengths rather than trying to be that sort of pass it off to better users mentality that he did have. It seems like he's taking control a lot more of the situation rather than trying to dish it off to someone else. And I think that's really suiting him at the moment. He's being allowed to play his natural game.
It's like, not that I think he's void of confidence, but I think the more and more he's doing this, the more I think he believes he belongs at that level, at that position, playing that role. I think for maybe not so much this year, but I think maybe prior to this year, there might have been a little bit of confusion for him internally about where is he going to play his best football, because we're kind of putting him all over the shop. And the debate's still obviously out there whether he's better forward or back. But when you see games like that on the weekend, EJ, it's kind of hard to justify taking him out of the back line. And like, I know Rance, I think we can all agree, was a once-in-a-generation player. But honestly, the similarities aren't that dissimilar. And I would argue that Bolter's got a better skill set at the same age.
Oh, yeah.
Agree.
Look, I don't want him anywhere near the forward line. I'm sorry. If we're going to have someone that's going to be a swing man, we could swing Gibgous when he comes back or whatever. But Bolter, he's a massive kick, but he's not a great set shot. We've seen that when he goes forward. He gives us, apart from being a great stopper, he gives us so much drive from the back line and covers with the meters gained with his foot. He's got to stay down there.
Yeah, agree. There's a few other players we'll touch on as well. Before we do that, my favourite stat, efficiency inside 50, 66%. Our average is 46, so up 20%, and you get the chockies. It's not a coincidence. But Juddy Clark was another one, gents, who I thought had a really good game. I was really rapt to see him play four quarters of football, kick that late goal, you know, when we're going goal for goal, when it kind of felt like they were maybe going to blow us open a little bit. He clutched up. Obviously, Presti did as well in the mix. But Juddy Clark, lads, what did you think of his game?
Go, DJ. Oh, look, what I love is the intensity and the pressure he brings. Yes, he's... Oh,
hello.
Cheers. Sorry, fellas.
Cheers. I've got my glass of water. So exciting. One of the actions that, for me, that summed up why I love what Clark brings was, you know, it was getting intense and tight late on, and there was this massive smother. The camera actually went away. You thought that the ball was gone, but he'd absolutely just plain smothered it across the line. You can see from the way he interacts with other players and that, and the way he tries to, he's G'ing them up. He's got such passion and such intensity, incredibly hardworking, and I'm rapt too that he got to play a game. And yes, the fact that he's mainly in the forward half, that's what some of the thing we've been missing is that pressure and that, you know, gut running. So, yeah, stays in for mine. Loved it.
Absolutely. I've been on him that he needs to play a full game. He can't be as a sub unless we need to bring someone else in for a tall, against a taller side. Him playing a full game, even though he only had the 11 possessions, his impact on the game in crucial moments was fantastic. That smother that you mentioned late in the third, just before the siren, that rundown tackle to save the shot at goal was brilliant. And of course, that bomb from 50, just he's got ice in his veins. These little moments that don't really add up to much, but as a whole, make a big picture. He's electric. And his kicking skills, just fantastic.
Yeah, good point about the skill.
Yeah, his skills, like, yeah, he's got...
It's like having George, but it's like having a George who can kick. And I love George. Don't shoot me.
There's almost shades of Baker in the way he goes about it as well, with his kind of tenacity at the ball carrier. Because, you know, Baker loves a smother as well, but... I think we're going to be better off longer term giving him as many full games as possible without it compromising the structure of the team. But I don't think it does. I think it actually adds more than it then it takes away because of the forward pressure. But the other small forward that played there for a lot of minutes that was probably something we didn't see coming so much was Baker. I didn't mind it. I know there's been a lot of debate on this show and in, you know, Richmond Footy Public in particular about Baker. Is he a forward? Is he a defender? Is he a midfielder? And you can probably put forward valid arguments for all three, to be honest. But how did you rate his game, EJ, playing as a forward this week? Well, the week just gone, sorry.
I probably noticed him more when things got desperate in the middle. Like that mark. Like, oh, stop it.
Oh, the slips catch.
Oh, but so I don't think he has as much impact up forward. I think we lose through the middle and across that half back line more than what we gain when he plays forward. Myself, I'll take him anywhere. Don't get me wrong, but that's I'd prefer to see him across half back and through the guts.
Yeah. I agree. I prefer him at halfback, but against sides that do have some dangerous ball users off halfback, I wouldn't mind him playing as that half forward role. Obviously, with his aggression and his little niggling, you know, play that he does, I think that will come in handy. But for the most part, I do think he's better in the back half of the ground. His tenacity and his aggression is something that we definitely need.
I reckon the one thing we missed with him is when Grimes was off for that extended period, I would have put Baker back to play on Green because we were kind of a little bit lost at sea and Green found himself unaccounted for quite a few times just because I think we were shuffling deck chairs a little bit and Baker may have, I know we got the result in the end, but that could have maybe been alleviated a little bit. But he's kind of a Mr. Fix-It.
Yeah, even if Baker didn't go back, maybe Mansell as well, because Mansell did start as a defender.
Yeah.
When he first came in, I think Mansell may have been one that could have gone back on Green. I think Green, with how Mansell plays, probably would have given away a few free kicks out of frustration if Mansell had gone to him. So,
yeah, true. Now, the other player who probably divides a lot of opinions on for Richmond in particular, I thought he played a great game, and I've seen people tell me that he was still at a bad game, which I struggled to fathom. But Jack Ross, I thought that was one of his better games for us. I think his sidestep out of trouble was actually quite effective. He used it very well. People are quick to look at the turnover number and shit like that, but every player turns it over. Dusty turns it over. Koch turns it over. Everyone does it. I know some are more impactful than others, but if you don't look at the stats and actually watch the game for what it was, Ross had a good game.
Yep. He was fifth for us for metres gained with 450 metres for the match. For someone so slow, he actually evades really well, like you're saying. But I think I was saying it last week. Ideally, he's not on the wing. At the moment, he is. But he's become so much better positioning-wise that the speed is less of a factor. I certainly think he was in that nice middle band of players that did their job without being too obtrusive. And the meters gain stats, tell you that for us, he was very effective on the day.
Yeah, I agree. And the biggest thing with Ross is he's very much like McIntosh in that it's his work without the ball, the running to provide options in between the arcs that is huge. He works so hard up and down the ground to try and provide an option. And people just say, I had five or six possessions, never mind the 30 or 40 sprint efforts he had to try and offer a lead that went ignored. So like his game, now that he's settling in, he's finding some consistency in game time and he's playing in a role that's a little bit familiar. It's no surprise that he's showing us what he can do.
And to your point there, Grok, Nick's comment sort of ties in beautifully that a commentator mentioned that Ross one time has he played six games in a row. So that continuity and I suppose confidence and level of understanding in the game plan and your role within the team, it doesn't happen from one or two games. You do need to get that extended run. And I hope he takes it with both hands and runs with it because I think he's got a lot to offer. I'm still not sold like you, EJ, that wings his spot. I think he's very much an inside mid. I can be very, very good at that. And there's a role there to be had, doing that job as well. But, kudos to him, though. His game of the weekend was pretty bloody good.
Yeah, and just Vince, no, I agree. Ross isn't super slow, but he's not quick. And with just you mentioned Grok K-Mac, who has come under a bit of fire and has had some, you know, average games lately. He was good on the weekend. Again, all the effort and the structure, and he had 537 metres gained. So they were number three and number five for us for metres gained for the match. And K-Mac, I noticed, really held his shape really well.
Yeah, and that's the thing that people just look at stats and things like that. They don't see. Like McIntosh for us, there's a reason why we started winning more games than we were doing in the back end of 2020 when he came back into the side. He just provides us so much structure on the wings and that outlet option. Like his work rate patrolling that wing gets us out of trouble so many times.
And his discipline. Like there's a lot of players that think they're better than what they are, so then they go and do their thing. But K-Mac will do his role and he will stick to what he's been told to do.
Yep.
And we've flagged that a few times on this show. His guarding role of the fat side of the ground is very good. And if the ball goes out that way, he's super quick, he's tall, and he competes like an animal. So that's a pretty good combination when it gets out there. And there's been I know he hasn't had a good stretch of games, but there's been plenty of times in the past you've seen him win one-on-twos, one-on-threes. When I say win, it might be locking the ball in or causing a boundary throw in, but that's a genuine win when it could be going the other way at 20 mile an hour. So good to see him hit a bit of form. What about Timmy Taranto? I don't want to jinx the poor bloke, but a lot of people are putting comments in about his Brownlow odds now, which makes for interesting reading. I know you like a bit of a punt, DJ. He's had another good game. Like, again, what do you have, 30 disposals, kicked a goal.
You want the stats?
Yeah, go for it. If you got some stats,
I saved this one. 36 disposals, 22 kicks, 14 handballs, 4 marks, 5 tackles, a goal, 9 clearances, and 630 meters gained. Number one on the ground. Led for clearances and led for meters gained. Unbelievable.
You can't ask for much more than that. It's no. He's put in a super effort. I think at the moment, based on exposed form as a Richmond supporter, I'm pretty comfortable with, you know, giving up our picks to get a player of Taranto's ilk in, and Hopper as well. I know he's out injured, but he's made a huge difference. And by contrast, Prestia obviously hasn't had to do as much work. But, yeah, Taranto, he's been enormous. And I don't get – I know Kane Corns is doing it for clickbait. I get it. But he can't honestly think that.
It's funny because he made a post last week after the Port game because everyone started going, "Look, Taranto, and you won 50 yet?" And he goes, "I gave him the 3 votes for this game. What more do you want me to do?"
Oh. One of those just admit you were wrong, you plonker.
Exactly.
No, he's done really, really well. Who else was there that played? I think Samson Ryan. We'll talk about Samson and Nank as a ruck combo, but I really, really, really enjoyed Samson Ryan's ruck work. You could see that he's put a lot of time and effort into his very intentional placement of his taps. I think he's starting to realize he's actually a big unit, and if he uses his body correctly, that he's going to win more ruck contests than he loses, especially if he's getting the second string ruckman while Nank tanks, you know, takes your Gons or your whoever. I liked his game, and I think Nank had an okay game. I think Briggs got him a couple of times with some goals. I think Nank took a little, like, very personally. But I think, for me, the rucking's all about Samson Ryan at the moment. I think he's come along very, very nicely.
Yep. Yeah. I personally think our midfield looks more dangerous with Samson in there as the ruckman. I just think his tap work, especially his hit-outs to advantage, is so much better than what Nank provides. But it's Samson Ryan's second and third follow-up efforts still being that slight-framed ruckman. He's getting pushed aside in the second efforts a little bit too much. And that's where Nank offers that bigger body and competes hard. So Briggs had a fantastic game. He's very...
He was awesome.
He's a big boy. He's very aggressive. He's very much like Nank, but he's just that tad bit quicker. And that's, again, something that Nank tends to struggle with, is that more mobile ruckman and going up against someone like Briggs, who has only played, I think, 13 or 19 games or something. Again, he'll be a very good ruckman in the future. So it's no shame on Nank to be getting a bit of a bath for a lot of the game from Briggs. But yeah, I think Samson Ryan will be an amazing ruckman in 3 years' time when his body's filled out.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan's 22 years old. What's English now, about 25?
Yeah,
24, 25, right. Yeah. All Samson Ryan needs is time. The skill set's there. He's going to be a lot of fun. And it's actually a really good segue that Nank and Soldo will be winding sort of down as he winds up. So yes, it's actually beautifully timed.
It then just comes down to who the second ruckman might be, but that's a problem for future Richmond to worry about. Happy for Samson Ryan to keep doing his thing. Before we move on, I think the VFL we should probably touch on as well. And they had a very good win as well, the kick after the siren. Who would have thought playing a drafted forward in the forward position to kick a goal would actually pay dividends instead of playing him at centre-half back? So Bauer took his moment, kicked a clutch goal to seal the win. But that's a good confidence booster for the entire club to win two close games like that. I think poor Biggie kicked about seven behinds, two goals, seven or something like that. So he's obviously getting near it, but just couldn't convert, sadly. But good to see that hopefully it means there's a few people knocking the door down in the twos.
Any of you guys watch the game?
I was driving with my son's stuff, so no.
Yeah, it was frustrating to say the least. Obviously, we finished 8-22 for the match. It was disgustingly bad, our set shots, and I'd say at least 16 of them should have been kicked. It was just constant misses, and Biggie was another one. He probably should have had 7-2, to be honest, with the shots that he took. But the thing is, having 9 shots at goal, that doesn't happen out of pure luck. Like, he found himself in the right spots. His leading was fantastic. He was good in the air in some tricky conditions. Coulthard, while he didn't have a lot of the ball, he competed so well, extremely quick, and he actually kicked a fairly nice goal on the run. Sam Banks had another solid game. It was frustrating, and Steely Green in that last 30 minutes of the game was one of the match winners. He kicked two or three. I think he kicked 2 goals, missed another 2 or 3, and set up Bauer for that last shot. So his last sort of 30 minutes was fantastic.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, we should give an official welcome to Coulthard and Trezise. Is that how you say his name? Trezise?
Trezise,
from the VFL list. Now, tinfoil hat time. Coulthard has only just become eligible in the last 3 weeks to be drafted. That doesn't happen by chance. It just doesn't. Like, that's too much of a ridiculous fairy tale to even contemplate being pure luck. I reckon we had him tucked away very nicely somewhere for quite some time and then just got the call up with a few weeks to go, get yourself qualified, and then bang, pounce on him. But, I mean, I know highlights packages are highlights packages, but they both look pretty good. So I'm not sure whether either will play this year. It probably depends on our form line, I suppose, with how we go. But I know there's a lot of people screaming, why didn't we take a key forward? To me, when things like this happen, when you take the players that we took, the logical part of me says that we did that because we know we're getting to fix that need somewhere else, whether that's free agency, trade, whatever it might be. That logic might be wrong, but it doesn't make sense otherwise. And the fact that we've got 2 people already there that we took from the same kind of draft that are still developing, I don't know whether you can load up with more of the same spot that you have to wait just as long for.
Yeah, the 2 things that I took out of us not taking a sort of established key forward is, one, we banked on Bauer and Bradkey. They're the known quantities. And 2, maybe the talk about Himmelberg is correct. We know we're going to get one at the end of the year. So there's no point getting one who may not even be on the list in 6 months' time.
Or the talk about Ben King is correct for the year after.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Ooh, yeah.
I saw Nathan made a comment about Tom Brown. He had an okay game without being great. Obviously, first game back for a while from his injury. He did some nice things, got a nice kick on him. So I think he's still rusty, but I think he'll be good to go by the end of the year.
Who else was it? Was there any? Oh, EJ, did you want to talk about the 1,000th Dusty article that surfaced today? Unleash, have a go.
Nah, look, I think I did it last week, but Robbo's just added himself to the pile today with the Herald Sun. I sent the picture through. I can't even remember what a bloody said. Look, it's almost like they can't think of a story for that day, so they just think, oh, no, what we'll do, we'll just put another Dusty story out there. Like, he's not going anywhere. It's actually embarrassing. It's embarrassing that the media keep going back to the same old trope because they've got nothing to talk about. It's just embarrassing.
Yeah, it's... You could only just laugh at some of the shit that comes out. But
an RFC centre is there, right there. Oh, we're not going to go off. Don't give it the oxygen. The best thing we can do is not pay for a Herald Scum subscription. Don't click the links. Don't follow. Don't retweet it. Don't engage with the tweet. Just starve the bastards.
Just, yeah, it's bottom feeders. Is that what we call them, bottom feeders? It's just nonsense. That's unfortunately, the reality is that Dusty's name sells papers. So it's, yeah. Can we mention Dimmer just quickly as well? How good's his form tweeting in from Denver, sending photos while he's at the pub, with people buying rounds and getting the footy on in the background? It's, and as people commented on his tweet, it's nice to see him smiling and enjoying life at the moment. And I, as much as I want him, oh, I do want him to be happy. It would kill me if he came back and coached somewhere else. I'd love to, if he's going to come back to footy, I'd love for it to be in like a director role or something like that at the club if he wasn't to be head coach. But maybe that's just a bit of a pipe dream by myself. But it's good to see him. Good to see him up and about and having some fun.
Maybe, Barm, you can hand him the packet of Monte Carlos. Who knows?
Oh, maybe a bit of a succession plan.
Passing the torch.
Speaking of coaches, right? That was a really close game on the weekend, wasn't it? That was high pressure. That was intense. That was goal for goal. It was like, as a supporter, that was a tough watch, right? How calm was McWalder in the box?
Yeah. Well, I think both. I think Kingsley was equally as calm on his interchange as well.
But I couldn't give a shit about GWS.
Yeah, true. Look,
I think Kingsley...
Go on.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're right.
I was going to say, I think Kingsley got all his emotions out in the quarter time huddle. That was a fair bake he gave the Giants at quarter time. That was a fair bake.
Was it?
Yeah. He was filthy with them.
Well, yeah, McWalter, I think, for me, a big tick for him in terms of gameplay stuff, getting his first win on the board, and the fact that we've kind of sort of semi-broke the hoodoo of the close losses, I think will do him some good for his own confidence. And I think the playing group especially, I think they'll be secretly pretty wrapped that they were able to get the win. And nice to see him bring him in for the song as well. I think Baker had threatened to pull Powerade over him. Not sure that would have been a good move, but no, good to see Mini get involved there.
So how many games has he been in charge for?
That's two. Second now.
Right. Okay. I do have a bone to pick. So Anthony Hudson was doing the call on Fox, right?
Yep.
When we won the game, and McWalter finally gets his first win as coach.
Yeah.
Mate, it's his second game, I'm not going to swear.
He's had two cracks at it, and he finally got a win. He's 50% at the moment.
Seriously.
I think he's taken in that new coach thing where new coaches seem to win their first game. It's like, oh, having to wait a week. Wow, massive.
On the Giants, on Kingsley, they've been in every game this year bar one, much like us. He's going all right. He's going all right, and there's a fair bit. I mean, I'm sure we all saw, you know, certain players in that side. They've got a fair few good young kids. They're going okay.
Oh, yeah.
And they're in the boat with us where they're probably missing the one player that they couldn't afford to drop, to lose to injury, and that's Sam Taylor.
Yeah.
Sam Taylor for them is like Tom Lynch for us. He's so integral for the way we play that losing him, they don't have the backup for him. So
I thought you were going to say Phil Davis.
Phil Davis, not, like Phil Davis is nothing. Like that 2019 grand final, I'll always think I thank Phil Davis for playing that game. Like,
oh, he should never have played. Should never have played. Well, we'll get stuck into the Freo game coming up this week, but viewers, start getting some questions ready. We'll do some questions before we finish up, because I know I have neglected to do that the last few weeks, and I apologize. So we will try and do that. So start thinking of some questions. We've got Freo this week. They had the bye this week, so there's no sort of exposed form to go off from the week just gone, but they're currently sitting 10th on the ladder. So a win here for us, you don't want to call it an 8-point game, but we're on 18 points there on 24. So they're one of the teams we have to leapfrog if we're, you know, I don't want to talk about it too much, but if we're any chance to play finals, and I think the club still believe that we can turn it around. And I think while you're mathematically possible, I think you do have to think that way. I think that only makes sense. But got Freo this week, who I think they've been going okay. I don't know if Nat Fife's back on the team. I don't know if he played the last game or not, but playing centre half forward now. Playing new role centre half forward, I think, is a good move for them. But how are we going to go about travelling over to Perth, EJ, and knocking off Freo on their home deck?
It'll be tough. It'll be tougher than the weekend. But I think, whereas I said last week when I tipped us because we played similar game styles, I think that our differing game style will help us in this respect. Let's not denigrate Freo. They came over just before the bye and beat the D's on the G. They're going okay. They had a rough start to the season, but you know they've got a lot of weapons up forward. They've got a pretty steady back line. You know, Jacko seems to be hitting some form as well. So it's going to be a really, really tough ask to get the points over there.
Especially off 6 days as well, Grok. It's never nice having to do the travel to Perth coming off a 6-day break. What's going to be interesting is our ins and outs. I mean, if we had a full list available at this point in time, I would hazard a guess that Cochin and maybe even Rewald at a point in time wouldn't have gone to play this game. But I think they both have to, maybe just Koch to a sub role, I don't know. But what do we see the ins and outs being like as well, Grok, for this upcoming game?
Yeah, it's funny. So I saw someone mention Koch maybe as sub, so that way he gets to his 300th next week. But I wouldn't risk Koch at all. I'd give him the week off to freshen up, be with the kids, you know, stay home, that sort of thing. Just get himself right and then prepare for the week after. So I'm not expecting Koch to play at all this week. I just think he's deserved that break. Yeah, I think the only one that I could really see coming in is Banks. I think Banks is probably about time. I think he might be a decent sub option. MJ, Vlosten will definitely come back in. I think he'll come in maybe for Young. I think Young's probably the one that's going to be stiff, even though he had a pretty solid game on the weekend. Vlosten will come in for Young. I'm not sure MJ will come straight back in, given our small forwards with Baker and Mansell looked okay for most of the game. I think he'll probably have another week. I think Koch out and then Banks and Vlosten in with Young.
Good question from Christian. Grimes, I think he went down to the rooms and had some serious work done on his shoulder, I think it was.
Yeah.
Have we heard anything about that? Does anyone know anything? If I mean,
no,
he looked pretty sore, but they obviously sort of jabbed him up, for lack of a better phrase, and got him back out there.
No, haven't heard anything, and I'm just doing a quick search to see if anything comes up.
Yeah, I hadn't seen anything on the socials either, but he could be one that comes out, and so maybe if that happens, maybe Young does keep his spot, and it's Vlosten for Grimes potentially. Grimes.
Yeah,
and I tend to agree that MJ, as much as I would love him to come in, I think it would be it would be very disheartening to someone like Juddy Clark if he lost his spot after the kind of game he had, which they're probably competing for a similar role, EJ.
Yeah, no, you can't drop Clark off that game. I think MRJ just have to bide his time. If they do spin someone else in for Koch, you know, yes, one of the other young kids might get a run, as we, you know, Banks has been closed for a couple of weeks now. What happens with Cumberland? That's the interesting one for me.
He's not a sub, is he?
He's not a sub. He's not a sub. Yeah, there's a good point there, Andrew Adam. I think he's made it a couple of times. Jack Graham's struggling, isn't he? You know?
Yep.
So there's the possibility that, you know, he might get rotated out. He's not flying.
It'd be a big call. It's his two-way running, his bigger body. It's always so valuable, but if you're not getting the ball, you're not performing, sometimes you've got to just play the people who are, Grok.
Yeah. I did see a comment earlier about Lynch. Lynch will not be back for at least another 4 weeks. He won't be back until after the bye, which is round 15. So round 16 or 17 is when they're sort of looking at him. Biggie could come in, especially as that more mobile marking forward against Freo. That could be one. But, yeah, otherwise, I really don't see too many changes.
Now, looking at the Dockers, I saw someone mention that is Sean Darcy out? I haven't paid much attention to their game prior to
Darcy's
this.
Darcy's out.
Is he really? Okay,
so that's a big out. That's huge. Yeah. I mean, that's as a big of an out as you can hope for, if you want to use that phrase, but that helps. But they've still got some pretty good players. They've got obviously Sarong through the middle. Brayshaw is obviously a very good footballer. The key, EJ, is it again? Do we have to just carry over this form of lowering our eyes? Because I can't see if we revert back to our bombing crap style, I can't see us winning over there. As much as we play okay at Optus, and I know they're coming off the bye, which is of some help. It's
I agree, and especially too, like, you know, Jack is not going to have a great game every week as he sort of gets older and winds down. And Pierce is a very good defender, and size wise, he really troubles Jack. So we don't have a big forward line. So I mean, you either put Ryan down there for some of the time to stretch their defence a little bit. But the key is going to be with, you know, Young and Aish and these sort of players is our smaller or medium-sized guys getting some separation and, yes, lowering the eyes and or slash dirty ball into the forward 50. High ball into the forward 50, we're going to get slaughtered. No, got to be dirty ball.
Yeah.
Or clean lower. Like that pass from Pickett on his left to Prestia. Something like that, 50 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll do. Well,
Jack Ross's little sidestep to Bolton.
Yeah, any of those kind of passes. Yeah. But this is where, like, to your point, Alex Pierce being a good defender, Grok, to your point, that's where someone like Biggie could play a role, but then you run the risk of, are you then too tall, having Biggie, Ryan, Nank, Jack in? But Biggie's not slow. He's got a bit of toe on him, so I don't think we lose much there from a pace department. But would it be beneficial to have a genuine second target up there?
I think it would. I think it stretches because they've got Pierce, who is very tall for a defender. I think he's 200 centimetres. Yeah. He's very, very tall. But they've also got Cox and they've got Luke Ryan as well, who are both fantastic intercept defenders. So Pierce is usually the one that blocks out in the hole. He stands in there, stops the forwards from leading, and it's the other two that fly in for the intercept. So we need to make those two accountable, and I think the only way to do that is to challenge them with height. I think we need to make them accountable for actually manning up on someone who can be an aerial threat. Otherwise, they can just peel off. And by going in too small, that's what they'll do. They'll just peel off, sort of like what the Dogs did to us last year, just constantly intercept. So, yeah, we definitely need to challenge them with height, make especially Luke Ryan. Ryan is their key interceptor. If we can bring someone in for him and just say, just play on him, make him defend you, I think that'd be a good thing for us.
All right. Well, we'll get some tips, including margins, unless there's anything else to add, and then we'll take some viewer questions before we wrap up. EJ, some final thoughts and tip and margin?
I don't actually think this is going to be one in the midfield, like we often say. I think this is more going to be won by a turnover game, if we can generate that. Once we get it into 50, if we can do the turnover thing, I think we'll be okay. I will go Tigers by 2 points.
Oh, don't do that to us. 2 points. Jeez.
We're going to win two close ones in a row. I can feel two it. Close.
just eradicate the last couple of years. Grok?
Yeah, I think this is going to come down to the halfbacks, the flankers for each side, and the half forwards. Obviously, Rioli, Baker, Short set up so much for us off the halfback line, but they've also got Frederick and Schultz, and Schultz is very underrated as a small pressuring type. So I think, yeah, if we can sort of get on top of that and take their smalls out of it, I think we'll win. I'm pretty confident, to be honest. First time I've been confident all year. So, yeah, I reckon 20 points.
Wow.
I'll take 20 points. I'll take 2 points. Start sending through any questions you got as well for those who are watching. We'll answer a few before we wrap up. pardon me. I will say Tigers by... I'll say 14, but it's going to be interesting to see. I'm hoping we see a really confident Tiger outfit on the back of winning a close game. Just a bit more belief and conviction about what they're doing. So maybe now that they've seen it pay off, that they'll start to, you know, implement it more and more. Especially, yeah, those passes that you both mentioned, the Pickett pass and the Prestia pass. We're both very, very good, and we need to be playing that type of football to give ourselves any kind of a chance of winning the game. So hopefully we can get the Chockies. FPL, first question. We do think Vlosten will be back. We don't know for sure, of course, but all signs would indicate that he should hopefully be returning. Lady Hawk, yes.
I know it's cross code, but I love me some FPL. It's a FPL. Great fantasy game.
Oh, is it?
It's Fantasy Premier League.
Oh, okay.
It's just wound up for the season. So FPL's... Put the soccer ball away and got the football out.
Picked up the footy, very good. Lady Hawk, very good shout out. Brody signing for 2 years, very, very good. Now, obviously last week Tiggs was on and mentioned that he was a bit nervous about the Broad situation with the money coming his way. So very good that Brody knocked back whatever other offers were on the table and stayed with the Tigers. So that's good. Good timing of it all coming out 2 nights after that we speak about it as well. But Brody is pivotal to the way we play for a lot of reasons, and he would be one of the first magnets on the board each week, I dare say. So very, very pumped for Brody to be in there. EJ or Grok, whoever knows the answer, Gibkiss, how much longer is he out for?
Quite a long time.
Yeah.
He hurt himself, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
He had a setback from the surgery, and then he was right for about a week and a half, and then he got injured again. So I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see him at all this year. I reckon they'll just say, enough's enough, just get that done, come back preseason.
I agree.
From Jim, would we really play Jack Graham?
Look, my pinned tweet is about how much I love Jack Graham, but I'd be pretty tempted to give him a spell.
Yeah. If we're going on the assumption that Cumberland can't play as a sub, I'd take Graham out, move Bolton into the midfield permanently, or Dusty, one of the two, get them playing as that primary forward and then midfield, and then have Cumberland play starting as a forward.
That's fair enough. RFC Centre, is Ralph Smith in our best team? He's given me the shits this year.
He had a he had a poor start to the game, but I thought his last 2.5 quarters were solid. He was really good in the back end of that third quarter and early in the fourth, taking that game on. So I think there's plenty to work with. I think they're just trying to get games into him while McIntosh and Pickett are in there, because I do think he'll be replace one of them long term. I think that's the plan.
Something's just popped up into my head too. Can I just give a shout out to Dusty? Last couple of weeks, right, it's been really noticeable. And on the weekend, it was really noticeable. He's working his ass off defensively. Yep.
More midfield minutes too.
Yeah, he's really putting the defensive work in.
Yeah, he normally wouldn't really chase or run for the tackle, but he seems to be cracking in now. And I think that's just showing how committed he is right now. It's like his head's back in the game. I've got something to prove right now. I'm going to prove it, sort of that mentality. So, yeah, fantastic. His heart's in it again. And when Dusty cares, watch out.
The last one we'll take from Cameron. Is Tarrant going to hang up the boots this year? I'll get your guys' thoughts as well, but my personal thought would be, if he thought he was going to retire at the end of the year, then he probably would have done it before the mid-season draft to give us an extra pick, maybe, unless it was discussed that it wasn't needed.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he's on the list next year.
Yeah, so
Well,
a bit of love for Dustin here. Dustin even ventured into the back pocket and for a touch. First time in 10 years that's happened.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hutto pointed it out too. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Toby Green ended up in the back pocket as well. Both of them ended up in their respective back pockets at their disposal. It was crazy.
About 30 seconds later, Toby Green was down back.
Yeah. What's the world coming to? But no, I was really impressed with Dusty's game. I think that he wound back the clock a little bit, and you can definitely tell there's been a shift for him to have more midfield minutes. I just think the forward structure wasn't working with him there on a more permanent basis from a speed perspective, and they finally recognised it and are tweaking accordingly. So hopefully that long may that continue. But you don't want to burn Dusty out either, so hopefully they get the balance right. But
and with his relationship with Dimmer, it could have been so easily for Dusty to just check out after Dimmer went. Just be like, that's it, I'm done. Like, because he's often said that Dimmer is like a father figure to him. Yeah. And obviously we know what happened with Shane, and obviously now Dimmer's gone. Could have been so easy for Dusty to just pack it all in and say, nah, stuff this. I'm just going to go through the motions. But I think it's lit a fire in him now. So I think...
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, well, I'd be imagining that Dimmer would have said to him, you know, don't let me down. Don't you drop the bundle just because I'm out, sort of thing. Very good question from Dylan Zhang. When do we expect the first long sleeve jumper, and from who? Well, if you look at the highlights of Coulthard in Glenelg,
yes,
he wore the long sleeves.
People were saying, "Gee, that didn't take long. Dimmer's only been gone a week, and we find the drafted player wearing long sleeves."
Not to mention we're coming into winter as well, so it could be a bit more of a shock to his system. Johnny Clark would have been my other bet.
Because who was the last one that we had that wore long sleeves? Was it Lids? I know Lids rocked it a couple of times.
Oh, Lids did another podcast and cried about Grand Final Day again. Come on.
Like, what was... Yeah.
I did see that.
Like, you gave us 243 games of magnificent service, and, you know, you're a great bloody player, but once you drop your bundle, mate, you're allowed to drop it once. Don't keep dropping it.
But I found it funny because I watched a little bit of that podcast. I had to turn it off. But in the podcast, he kept saying, I gave them this, I gave them that. You know, it's never we or us. It was very singular-minded. It was all focused on him, not so much the team. And I'm like, well, maybe that's a bit of an indication of why we improved when you left.
Well, I read between the lines a lot because he actually admitted not being a great teammate. And, you know, so I think a lot of the smoke that was floating around post his departure is actually a little bit to it. He's got his good mates from the time at Richmond, no doubt. But, yeah, I think maybe he burned a couple along the way.
But we come out with the reward at the end of it. So I feel bad for him ultimately because he did give a lot to the club. But I still think it stands to reason that if he didn't leave – we wouldn't have won the flags, I think.
100%.
I agree. I would have felt bad for him if he didn't admit that he didn't even watch the grand final in 2017. He supposedly had so many mates still at the club that he couldn't even bother to put aside his personal feelings to support his so-called friends for one day. Sorry, mate.
Fair enough. No, that's fair. Cool. I'll probably change my mind now that you put it that way. Probably flipped. But no, I have seen bits of that on TikTok. Very, very interesting. So, all right, EJ Grock, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Much appreciated. Tiggs, hope you're feeling better. CB, hope you're doing well, and we should hopefully see you in the coming weeks, potentially. Thank you so much to everyone for tuning in tonight. Much appreciated. And hopefully we can be joining you on Monday night with another win. Back-to-back wins would be some type of feat, given the year we've had so far. It would get us back into some serious calculations. So we'll see how we go. It's good to see a close win, and hopefully that brings some confidence and we can crack on with it. But thanks, everyone, for tuning in tonight. Much appreciated. Make sure you follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, where else are we? Wherever else we are, get around us. Like, yeah, well, I have told CB to do some groundwork while in Perth, so I'm not sure if he's going to do it or not. But I did say he needs to do one of his little live little promos that he does on Twitter, because he's very, he loves a bit of me time, a bit of selfie action on the camera.
He so is the Brett Linio of the Big Footy Tiger
Cast. Yeah, the Tiger Cast.
He's going to get called Lids from this day forward.
He was listening too. I saw his name pop up earlier, so that's going to stick. So yeah, he's catching up with a special guest, so hopefully he can get some footage, and we'll see what he comes up with. But thanks for your time tonight, gentlemen. Thank you so much for tuning in this week, and we will speak to you all on Monday. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.